answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We are just learning that officials say the Boxer Amphibious Ready Group is deploying ahead of schedule from the West Coast to sail through the Indo-Pacific and eventually end in the Middle East in order to help additional forces deploy to the region. Now, we are learning that the Boxer Amphibious Ready Group obviously includes the USS Boxer. It's known as a big deck because it's like a mini aircraft carrier. It also includes the USS Portland and USS Comstock amphibious landing ships. There are about 2,500 Marines, 4,000 total service members aboard these three amphibs. They come with, you're looking at that, that capability to spring out of a well deck for an amphibious assault. They also come with F-35 fighter jets, missiles, machine guns, ship-to-shore capabilities, that we are being told. Now, officials say the sailors and Marines shortened their leave period after completing their certification and training in order to accelerate their deployment.
And the deployment is underway as we speak. That's a report from Fox News earlier today. The Boxer and others are carrying numerous amphibious boats, obviously, and inside U.S. Marines. They hit the beach, the wall drops down, and the Marines hit the beach. Now, we're not talking about boots on the ground in Iran directly. Karg Island, which is off of Iran, that could well be a target for putting some boots on the ground. I'm a little dicey about that, but again, I'm more in favor of boots on the ground if they're going in on a specified limited mission, carry it out and come back out, with or without help from the Israelis. Probably would be with their help. But I want you to understand, you're going to hear a lot of people, oh, he's going to plunge us into deeper war. No, Trump is still looking for an off-ramp, but we're not going to go away until we know Iran is absolutely not even on its knees anymore when it comes to a nuclear capability. This note that happened earlier today. There's a UK nuclear missile base, and an Iranian man and a second person were arrested trying to enter this nuclear base, actually just in Scotland. What were their intents? We don't know. They didn't get any farther in, which is good. And those out there who want to say, well, you know, Iran might not be that bad. You are deluding yourself, and you're just setting yourself and our nation up for possible devastation. We got a lot to cover for you today, as we always do. One quick note, we'll get into more details for you later. CBS Radio News. CBS Radio News is shutting down all CBS Radio News as of May, the end of May. No more CBS Radio News. The news legend is the legendary broadcast operation that has so many names that were familiar to listeners, especially during World War II, direct from Berlin. We're going to spend more time on that a little bit later. But they suddenly are pulling the plug. They're just not going to do news radio. Does not directly affect the TV news at CBS. But the way they've been decimating things, who knows what's next? And Chuck Norris is dead at age 86. That's another piece of news that broke today. We're going to spend more time regarding Chuck Norris coming up as well. So welcome to Larry Connors USA here on March 20, 2026, where you get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You're going to walk away from this hour and every hour with more information than you have right now. And in our next hour, FBI Director Patel talking about what we've been able to do with the FBI in such a short term that could have been done by the Joe Biden administration, but they didn't care. They wanted the loonies to run the FBI. And as I said, we'll have more on the death of Chuck Norris and everything he contributed to the culture, much less movies. This hour, a little bit later, I want to, because CBS Radio is pulling the plug on all their radio stations, I want to take you back to one of the most important times for CBS Radio, World War II, the bombing of Berlin in particular, and Edward R. Murrow, one of those reporting from that position, one of many. And you want to hear what he has to say at that point and put it in contrast to where we are now with an almost wimpy American public and the hard stance, the fortitude of the Londoners after night of bombing in London and getting up the next day and basically going to work. And even in the midst of a threat of a possible bombing, if a stoplight was red, they would wait for it to change green before they would move, unless they knew that a bomb might drop at any direct moment. And they really didn't know, but they were following their rules. Of course, driving on the wrong side of the road, I'll point that out. Our story behind the story today, The Making of Midnight Cowboy. It starts in Texas, Big Spring, Texas, where I began my broadcast career. And there were a lot of people that wanted to be in the movie because Dustin Hoffman had just come off The Graduate, which was his breakout. And everybody wanted to be part of a movie that was going to be really big. But then when it was released, many were embarrassed and many wouldn't even go see it. And some theaters would not show it. That's the story behind the story, still to come before this hour is over. Fox News reporting on how Trump has really pushed NATO membership and others to, you need to step up to the plate and support us in Iran.
A number of European leaders now calling for that Strait of Hormuz to be opened up for commercial shipping. A potential coalition to make that happen could include Great Britain, France, Germany, Italy, Netherlands, Japan, and Canada. But so far, none of those countries willing to put military assets in the region. And it's clear from the traffic in the Strait of Hormuz just how jammed up it is. Before the war, you could see the number of ships, tankers entering and leaving the Strait of Hormuz. As of Tuesday, that number down to zero. Iran also lashing out against its Gulf neighbors after a major oil field in Iran was attacked by Israel. President Trump said Israel would no longer target Iran's energy infrastructure.
In fact, Trump made it very clear, he said, with Netanyahu, don't destroy all their infrastructure. We need to leave something for them to rebuild with when they have a new regime, not like the one they're trying to oust. And Netanyahu agreed, yeah, we should not have hit that field the way we did. But the mission is still very clear. Stephen Miller from the White House.
You can see from the military campaign what the United States' focus has been on. Under President Trump, we have eliminated the Iranian Navy. We've eliminated the Iranian military. We have eliminated the Iranian missile launchers, increasingly more and more. We've gone after their defense production capability, their ability to produce drones, their ability to produce missiles, their ability to threaten the world. So President Trump has outlined an extremely clear military plan and military objectives, just like we took out the military targets and the military infrastructure on Karg Island. And the president was clear in the attack on Karg Island what the objectives were and what the objectives were not. At the end of the day, this mission that President Trump has established is very clear and very focused on eliminating the Iranian threat to the United States and to the world, preventing that regime from being able to strike and kill Americans anywhere in the world.
And Trump had said many of these NATO allies are cowards for they're not helping us protect the Strait of Hormuz. Well, several of those nations suddenly did an about-face, said, we support what you're doing. They're still not sending any help. And you've got the naysayers out there that try to find a thread, the smallest crumb, a microscopic bit of some kind of failure or something that's not going right. And they magnify it and blow it up and see, look, Trump, is everything screwed up already? Again, Stephen F. Miller says, do not listen.
The bottom line is that our capabilities are so far beyond anyone else's in the world, as we've seen with Midnight Hammer, as we've seen with Absolute Resolve, and as we're seeing now with Epic Fury. It's very important that nobody in the United States be gaslit by the Iranian propaganda. The IRGC has been crushed. Their leadership is dying. Their ability to project their power is waning by the day. Their command structure is being ripped apart. Right. Their infrastructure is being steadily eroded. They are being turned into a weaker and weaker and weaker power every single day. That is a story that needs to get told.
And on top of that, one of their top propaganda speakers that they often put up front, he has now been killed. But I want you to contrast where we stand in this nation, the division in our nation over what we're doing and trying to make sure Iran does not get a nuclear weapon. And the attitude of some, well, you know, it's not imminent danger. What is an imminent danger? I ask that repeatedly. What is imminent to you? Do you need to have the bomb in front of you and watch the guy push the button? Is that what you need? Or do you consider looking down the road? Do you imagine our enemies, and that would be involving Iran, China, and Russia, that they don't consider us an imminent danger at various points, and they know what they need to do for the future, and they're in the process of doing it? Put yourself into World War II in Berlin when they were being hit with nightly bombings, and the attitude that was focused upon the folks of that nation at that time, as reported by CBS correspondent Edward R. Murrow.
I am a neutral reporter. I have watched the people of London live and die ever since death in its most ghastly garb began to come here as a nightly visitor 5 weeks ago. I have watched them stand by their homes. I have seen them made homeless. I have seen them move to new homes. And I can assure you, there is no panic, no fear, no despair in London town. There is nothing but determination, confidence, and high courage among the people of Churchill's Island. And they know that every night the RAF bombers fly deep into the heart of Germany, bombing munition works, airplane factories, canal, cutting the arteries which keep the heart of Germany alive. It is true that the Nazis will be over again tomorrow night, and the night after that, and every night. They will drop thousands of bombs, and they'll destroy hundreds of buildings, and they'll kill thousands of people.
And you look at the attitude, the fortitude, as he mentioned, of the Brits at that point. And I look around our nation and our wimpy, I'll say it direct, wimpy-ass people that will not accept the fact that we need to be aware of what Iran is doing and take action sooner than later. Oh, and let me remind you this. You think you're not going to be worried about Iran? Iran's Islamic State leadership added today saying we're still building missiles. And they also say recreational and tourist sites worldwide will now be targets for our aggression. All their terrorist activities they have around the globe. You're going to go to a nice tourist destination. You might find yourself facing Iran. Then will you recognize what was going on with London and how they stood and where we are at this point? We're going to get into this in more detail in our next segment. But some still just don't understand why we need to deal with Iran now. CIA Director Ratcliffe says the answer is simple.
Yeah, much had been made by some about a fatwa against the development of nuclear weapons. Notwithstanding the fatwa, what we know, and the intelligence community's in agreement on this, is that Iran possesses at least 440 kilograms of uranium enriched to weapons grade 60%, which doesn't have a civilian use. The only use for that would be the development of nuclear weapons.
Generally, when they reach 20% enrichment, that's what you need for civilian use. 60%, you're pushing toward a nuclear weapon. And Ratcliffe got questioned by a New Jersey Democrat that really did ask perfect questions, and he got direct answers.
Is the Iranian regime committed to America's destruction, in your opinion?
Yes.
Does the Iranian regime have American blood on their hands since its founding in 1979?
Yes.
Has Iran plotted assassination attempts against Americans on American soil?
Yes.
Was Iran developing a nuclear weapon prior to our military action last June? And did Iran remain committed to developing a nuclear weapon in the lead up to this conflict?
Yes.
If left unchecked, do you think Iran would have the ability to develop missiles capable of reaching the United States?
Yes.
Did Israel force the U.S.'s hand and make us take action, as some have claimed?
No.
Director Gabbert, do you agree with the CIA director's assessment on that last question in particular?
It's very clear. Imminent danger. But we're not in imminent danger. My God, what do you need? And I mentioned again, those recreational spots around the globe, if they can get an Iranian ballistic missile to one of them, they'll start targeting those areas as well. They don't care about civilian casualties. And of course, we have to worry about flights, U.S. flights inside our nation and going international. And the issue with the TSA agents still, we're losing more and more of them. And at the same time, while they're not being paid because the Democrats shut down, one TSA spokesman in front of Congress pointed out something right in his face.
It does not feel great to know that you're doing your job. You're getting paid and I am not.
Did you know that while members of Congress are still getting paid, TSA officers are not?
I can't help but notice that we are at Reagan National Airport, which is a very unique airport in that it is the airport that most members of Congress use.
This is true.
Can you tell me what it's like seeing members of Congress pass through your security lanes? They are paid. It's up to them on both sides of the aisle to get you paid. Can you tell me what it's like to see them pass by?
It's one of those things where you realize, like, you're coming through and I want to ask you questions and I want to have that conversation with you, but it's not the time for it. But it's like, do you see me? Do you see that I'm showing up every day? Do you see that I'm doing the work, that I'm putting in the effort, and there's still no change for me?
Yeah, nothing far. And they're overworked, getting no pay. It's a perfect storm for terrorist activity. By the way, there was a report of a near miss at Newark, New Jersey Airport. Two commercial airliners came very close earlier today. Thank God that didn't happen. That's not involving the TSA, but I want you to know about it. Coming up, an extended report on Edward R. Murrow in Berlin and our story behind the story. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold remediation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. finally, March, the season of fresh starts, more daylight, more energy. A perfect time to take a fresh look at your home. Your windows or doors are outdated and efficient? Check with Renewal by Anderson. From your first design consultation through final installation, every detail is handled by one experienced, dedicated team. Clear communication, precise craftsmanship. Renewal by Anderson windows built with our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl. And right now, during our March savings event, take $400 off every window, $800 off every door, and get a free upgrade to Smart Sun Glass. No money down, no payments, no interest for 12 months. But this ends March 31st. Call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS, or visit rbastl.com. rbastl.com. Superior products, exceptional service. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Boom, 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 boom. Gotta shoot your eye down.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Berlin was a kind of orchestrated hell, a terrible symphony of light and flame. It isn't a pleasant kind of warfare. The men doing it speak of it as a job. Yesterday afternoon, when the tanks were stretched out on the big map, all the way to Berlin and back again, a young pilot with old eyes said to me, "I see we're working again tonight." That's the frame of mind in which the job is being done. The job isn't pleasant. It's terribly tiring. Men die in the sky while others are roasted alive in their cellars. Berlin last night wasn't a pretty sight. In about 35 minutes, it was hit with about three times the amount of stuff that ever came down on London in a night-long blitz. This is a calculated, remorseless campaign of destruction. Right now, the mechanics are probably working on D-Dog, getting him ready to fly again.
That was Edward R. Murrow reporting on the bombing raids over Berlin. He was one of many CBS reporters that took part in that. I'll give you more detail on that in a moment. But in that particular one, he was on an RAF flight going in and hitting targets in Germany. He was not the only CBS reporter that did that. And, of course, getting back safely was important for the entire crew. And he faced that reality on a constant basis. And then came the night when he's on the ground, not in the Lancaster bomber crew on a raid over Berlin. He's on the receiving end inside London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London. At the moment, everything is quiet. For reasons of national as well as personal security, I am unable to tell you the exact location from which I'm speaking. Off to my left, far away in the distance, I can see just that faint red angry snap of anti-aircraft bursts against the steel blue sky. But the guns are so far away that it's impossible to hear them from this location. About 5 minutes ago, the guns in the immediate vicinity were working. I can look across just at a building not far away and see something that looks like a splash of white paint down the side. And I know from daylight observation that about a quarter of that building has disappeared. More searchlights spring up over on my right. I think probably in a minute we shall have the sound of guns in the immediate vicinity. The lights are swinging over in this general direction now. You'll hear two two explosions, just there they are, again moving in, still a considerable distance away, moving still just a little closer, there you heard two, the searchlights are stretching out now in this general direction. I can hear just a faint whisper of an aircraft high overhead. Again, those guns are a considerable distance away. You'll hear them just vaguely in the background. Straight in front of me now, you'll hear two sounds in just a moment. There they are. That was the explosion overhead, not the guns themselves.
That might have been one of the flak shells fired to bring down the German bombers. And keep in mind, when he's hearing the shots fired, those fighters, I should say the bombers, already passed the point of the artillery gun, and they could be overhead of him, and the bombs could be in the process of dropping. Edward R. Murrow was one of those that led the coverage for CBS. And I point this out because, as I told you earlier, in case you missed it, CBS Radio News is dropping all radio news coverage coming in May. They have a legendary CBS history. And with reports and men like you hear from Edward R. Murrow on what they did, and others that were in Berlin covering World War II, Eric Severite, Charles Collingwood, Douglas Edwards, Walter Cronkite, Andy Rooney, and I know I'm leaving some out. They were all there doing a job that was noble and doing their best to keep the American public aware of what was happening in England. Murrow once again from Berlin.
Straight in front of me now, you'll hear two sounds in just a moment. There they are. That was the explosion overhead, not the guns themselves. I should think in a few minutes there may be a bit of shrapnel around here. Coming in, moving a little closer all the while. The plane is still very high, and it's quite clear that he's not coming in for his bombing run. Earlier this evening, we could hear occasionally, again, those were explosions overhead. Earlier this evening, we heard a number of bombs go sliding and slithering across to fall several blocks away. Just overhead now, the burst of the anti-aircraft fire. Still, the nearby guns are not working. And the searchlights now are feeling almost directly overhead. Now you'll hear two bursts a little nearer in a moment. There they are. That hard, stony sound.
And yet, the next day, Londoners came out of the shelters and they went to start hoping to find survivors and to begin to rebuild and try to carry on life as usual. Shops would open if they were still standing. Folks would go to work as if it were a normal day and doing what they needed to do. And I'm not talking about manufacturing bombs and munitions. I'm talking about paperwork, things of that nature that might be needed to keep London and the government moving forward. And then at nighttime, Edward R. Murrow tells an amazing story that stoplights were even working at night. It was a blackout, but the stoplights would be active, and traffic would actually obey the stoplights.
The little traffic lights here, just a small cross on the normal globe, are now red. The cars pull up and stop. I'll just ooze down in the darkness here along these steps and see if I can pick up the sound of people's feet as they walk along. One of the strangest sounds one can hear in London these days, or rather these dark nights, just the sound of footsteps walking along the street, like ghosts shod with steel shoes. A taxi draws up just in front and stops, just waiting for that red light to change to green while the siren howls. There it goes, and the cars move off. More searchlights are in action. We've not yet seen any burst of anti-aircraft fire overhead. An air raid warden walks out of this shelter. The shelter here, you know, is the crypt underneath this famous old church just on the edge of Trafalgar Square. The crypt where in days of peace homeless men and women were able to find a night's lodging.
But at that point, it could become a death tomb for them if one of the bombers hit that precise location. And everyone, when the air raid sirens would go off, they would go into the shelter, some rushing, some taking their time casually doing it. The reality of death was constant.
Dr. Paul Joseph Gibbles said recently that the nightly air raids have had a terrific effect upon the morale of the people of London. The good doctor is absolutely right. Today, the morale of the people is higher than ever before. They are fused together, not by fear, but by a surging spirit of courage the like of which the world has never known. They know that thousands of them will die, but they would rather stand up and face death than kneel down and face the kind of existence the conqueror would impose upon them. And they know, too, and are comforted by the thought that England is not taking its beating lying down. They are guarding the frontiers of freedom. It is hard to see 5 centuries of labor destroyed in 5 seconds.
The attitude then of the Londoners when they were under the blitz of the German bombers. And again, Edward R. Murrow pointing out, I'm just here telling you what I see. He's not embellishing it. He's not trying to push a narrative. It's reporting.
I am a neutral reporter. I have watched the people of London live and die ever since death in its most ghastly garb began to come here as a nightly visitor 5 weeks ago. I have watched them stand by their homes. I have seen them made homeless. I have seen them move to new homes. And I can assure you, there is no panic, no fear, no despair in London town. There is nothing but determination, confidence, and high courage among the people of Churchill's Island. And they know that every night the RAF bombers fly deep into the heart of Germany, bombing munition works, aeroplane factories, canal, cutting the arteries which keep the heart of Germany alive. It is true that the Nazis will be over again tomorrow night, and the night after that, and every night. They will drop thousands of bombs, and they'll destroy hundreds of buildings, and they'll kill thousands of people.
And of course, Americans at that point were able to sleep safely in their beds. And of course, sons and daughters ended up joining the war to help save the world. That's what we're doing right now, dealing with Iran. We've got people that just don't know, and they don't know the history of what it's cost. Story behind the story, coming up next.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta, but you just visit the website NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. finally, March, the season of fresh starts, more daylight, more energy. A perfect time to take a fresh look at your home. Your windows or doors are outdated and inefficient? Check with Renewal by Anderson. From your first design consultation through final installation, every detail is handled by one experienced, dedicated team. Clear communication, precise craftsmanship. Renewal by Anderson windows built with our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl. And right now, during our March savings event, take $400 off every window, $800 off every door, and get a free upgrade to Smart Sun Glass. No money down, no payments, no interest for 12 months. But this ends March 31st. Call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS, or visit rbastl.com. rbastl.com. Superior products, exceptional service. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You are listening.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
And here's to you, Mrs. Robinson. Jesus loves you more than you will know. Whoa, whoa, whoa. God bless you, please, Mrs. Robinson. Heaven holds a place for those.
The sounds of Simon and Garfunkel and their big hit, Mrs. Robinson, which was, of course, tied to the movie that came out called The Graduate, starring, at that point, a young actor, Dustin Hoffman. Mrs. Robinson, played by Anne Bancroft. That was released in 1967. Mealy became a big hit. In fact, it's been selected for preservation in the U.S. National Film Registry. It got looking at how many Emmys it got. I'm just amazed even as I look at it. 7 nominations. The only win was for Best Director. But the movie had a direct impact on a lot of the young audience at that time. And The Graduate, meant to be a romantic comedy drama directed by Mike Nichols, and Dustin Hoffman is playing a recent bachelor's degree graduate, and his parents are pushing him to do one thing, and he doesn't know what he's going to do with his life. He does know he wants to date Mrs. Robinson's daughter, Elaine, and she says, no, you're not going to date my daughter. And then later tells him, I'm a little bit too drunk to drive home. I want you to drive me home. And therein unfolds probably one of the highlights for many in The Graduate.
Mind my saying so? This conversation is getting a little strange. Now, I'm sure that Mr. Robinson will be here any minute now.
Oh,
what?
My husband will be back quite late. He should be gone for several hours.
Oh, my God.
Pardon?
Oh, no, Mrs. Robinson. Oh, no.
What's wrong?
Mrs. Robinson, you didn't expect...
What?
I mean, you didn't really think I'd do something like that.
Like what?
What do you think?
Well, I don't know.
For God's sake, Mrs. Robinson. Here we are. You got me into your house. You give me a drink. You put on music. Now you start opening up your personal life to me and tell me your husband won't be home for hours.
So?
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me. Aren't you?
Aren't you? The case was, yes, that's exactly what she was trying to do. So that became a big film, the introduction film for Dustin Hoffman. And that scene with Anne Bancroft took the lead part of the movie. So later, 2 years later, Midnight Cowboy is up for shooting. And Dustin Hoffman is going to star in it. With another actor not very well known at that point, didn't have much credit to his name at all, John Voight. The setting of Midnight Cowboy was beginning in Big Spring, Texas, where I'd worked in radio for many years. I wasn't there when they were shooting the movie, but I knew a lot about what they were doing and where they shot it. They shot at a little cafe that I was aware of. And a lot of the townsfolk wanted to line up and be in it. They wanted to be extras. Dustin Hoffman's going to be coming to Big Spring. And we may get to meet him. And we want to be in a movie that Dustin Hoffman is in. Now, they'd already should recognize The Graduate was basically what you would call R-plus rated if you had the rating systems in. But they weren't thinking about that. They were just looking at the possibility of being in a movie. A lot of folks signed up. I want to be one of the customers in cafe or whatever I can do. A pedestrian on the sidewalk. I want to be in that movie called The Midnight Cowboy. As far as what they knew, it's just the story of a West Texas cowboy. Or just a West Texas kid, basically, that goes to New York. What could be wrong? Well, first, Dustin Hoffman never came to Big Spring, never was there. And John Voight played a character by the name of Joe Buck. And when he went to New York, that's where he met Dustin Hoffman, Rizzo Rizzo, basically. And the story revolved around male and female prostitution, Joe Buck.
Get along, little doggies. It's your misfortune and none of my own.
Where's that Joe Buck?
Get along, little doggies.
Where is our Joe Buck? Look at this crap.
Yeah, where's that Joe Buck?
Where's that Joe Buck?
You're due here at 4 o'clock.
You know what you can do with them dishes. And if you ain't man enough to do it for yourself, I'd be happy to oblige. I really would.
Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear a word they're saying.
So Joe Buck walks out of the restaurant, never again to wash dishes. Goes to New York and runs into Dustin Hoffman. And then later gets introduced to homosexuality and numerous other crimes and things that were far from his mind and from the people of Big Spring, Texas, who were in that movie at that point already and survived the cutting room floor. So, yes, there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them, and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
In New York, no rich lady with any class at all buys that cowboy crap anymore. They're laughing at you on the street.
Ain't nobody laughing at me on the street.
Behind your back, I seen them laughing at you, fella.
Oh, what the hell do you know about women anyway? When's the last time you scored, boy?
That's a matter I only talk about a confession. We're not talking about me now.
When's the last time you've been to confession?
It's between me and my confessor. And I'll tell you another thing. Frankly, you're beginning to smell. And for a stud in New York, that's a handicap.
Well, don't talk to me about clean. I ain't never seen you change your underwear once the whole time I've been here in New York. And that's pretty peculiar behavior.
I don't have to do that kind of thing in public. I ain't got no need to expose myself.
No, I bet you don't. I bet you ain't never even been laid. How about that? And you're going to tell me what appeals to women.
I know enough to know that that great big dumb cowboy crap of yours don't appeal to nobody except every jackie on 42nd Street.
Now, I want you to keep in mind, this was 1969 when this came out, 2 years after Dustin Hoffman and The Graduate. And a lot of the folks around the Big Spring, Texas area, they had signed up for extras. When they saw those scenes unfolding on the screen, they were embarrassed. They didn't, but they were hoping their picture was not going to be included. And if I recall right, for a period of time, the local movie theater would not even show it. They were going to have a prime grand opening. I don't think that ever materialized, if I recall right. Because young Texan Joe Buck, quitting his dishwashing job, wearing his pearl button cowboy shirt, is in New York wearing his hat. And Dustin Hoffman, known as Rico Retzo Rizzo, was a con man with a limp. And he took $20 for introducing Joe Buck to be a pimp and become a male prostitute. Joe Buck eventually beds down a middle-aged woman in her Park Avenue apartment. And when it's over, he wants money. He wants money from her. She gets upset, so he actually gives money to her just to make things better. And then the unveiling of what else he was going to be doing to make money was, again, whatever Dustin Hoffman, Rico Retzo Rizzo could get him to do. Oral sex from a young man in a movie theater, but the man can't pay. Joe threatens him, but doesn't know anything about it. But he sees Rico the next day at a cafe, and he's really upset because he said, I know you got some money. Where's my money? And they were having a big falling out.
Come on, I'm a cripple.
I ain't going to kick you.
Come on now.
I'm going to strangle you to death.
Now, wait a minute.
Only first I'm going to shake you out right here now. Where's my money?
Here.
You put it right there, boy.
All right. All right, here. Here, that's all I got. Here.
That's all you got? What you got in your socks?
Nothing. I swear to God. I swear on my mother's eyes. Here, nothing. Here, 64 cents. Go ahead. Come on, I want you to have it.
Sticky, would you do slobber on it?
Here, have a cigarette. Come on. Come on. Come on, sit down. How do you like that old Daniel flipping out like that? You know, I tried to get in touch with you when I was laid up with this cold.
That cough. Rico Retzo kept saying, I need to get to Miami. I need to be in Florida. I need to get out of New York. I can be able to breathe better down there. And he wants Joe Buck to help him do that. But, of course, they've got to come up with money. So they began a business relationship more as hustlers. They were in severe poverty. They were stealing food. Sometimes couldn't get any work for Joe, even as a male prostitute. Joe Buck pawns his radio, even sells his blood. And Rico's persistent cough gets even worse. It's winter in New York, and it's a freezing apartment. In the 42nd Academy Awards, A Midnight Cowboy won 3 of the awards. Best Picture, Best Director, Best Adapted Screenplay. And Midnight Cowboy is the only X-rated film, equivalent now what you would see NC-17, to win Best Picture. The only X-rated film to ever win an Academy Award. And just as The Graduate, Midnight Cowboy was deemed culturally, historically significant, selected for preservation in the U.S. National Film Registry. Rico is getting feverish, getting sicker. He wouldn't take any help, but he was begging Joe, get me to Florida. So Joe picks up an middle-aged man in an arcade, go back to his hotel room. Joe demands money. The man refuses to give him more than $10, so Joe beats, robs, and apparently smothers him. And with that money and some other stolen cash, they buy 2 tickets to Florida. And Rico insists you get rid of the cowboy outfit, boots. And Joe agreed there must be a better way to make money than hustling in New York. So they were headed to Miami on a bus. And the cough was proving to be fatal for Rico Ratzo. They're arriving in Florida. Can see the palm trees. And Joe Buck is trying to tell him, Rico, look, 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 we're in Florida, look, wake up. He couldn't wake up. He'd passed away during the night. So Joe Buck simply closes his eyelids. Said, we'll be past this part and directly in Miami shortly, friend. Powerful film. But as I said, a shocker for those in Big Spring who wanted to be in it. The story behind the story next, Walter Cronkite. That'll be Monday. Second hour, still to come.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. Finally, March, the season of fresh starts, more daylight, more energy. A perfect time to take a fresh look at your home. Your windows or doors are outdated and efficient? Check with Renewal by Anderson. From your first design consultation through final installation, every detail is handled by one experienced, dedicated team. Clear communication, precise craftsmanship. Renewal by Anderson windows built with our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl. And right now, during our March savings event, take $400 off every window, $800 off every door, and get a free upgrade to Smart Sun Glass. No money down, no payments, no interest for 12 months. But this ends March 31st. Call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS, or visit rbastl.com. rbastl.com. Superior products, exceptional service. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law has already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Underlaw.com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com. Wins.
This is News Talk STL.